And in their murmuring and complaining, he got angry and broke God's rule. He said, speak to the rock, and he struck it twice. And he called them a bunch of rebels. You want water? I get you some water. And the Lord honored what he did in the sight of the people. But Moses didn't get to cross over. I've told God many times in pastoring, you know, sometimes it is frustrating, I will tell you. Because a lot of times I'll preach a great sermon, I think, for somebody, they're not here. And then the very thing comes up, and I say, well, you'd have been here. Get that CD. I don't want to say it again. If you'd have been here, you'd have got it. You know what I'm saying? And then they complain and murmur. And I've done everything I know to do. And so this murmuring and complaining many times makes even a person that's strong be frustrated with somebody who's not with the program. And so here we have all this murmuring and complaining going on. And it's kind of ironic because God brought them out of Egypt bondage. Why? Because they were murmuring and complaining. They were murmuring and complaining because the Egyptians were taskmasters over them. And so the Lord said, I heard their murmuring and complaining. And so he brought them out of murmuring and complaining only so they could murmur and complain against him. And some people I've learned, they murmur and complain at that place, they murmur and complain at this place, and they'll go from doctor to doctor to doctor, they go from advisor to advisor to advisor, they'll go from construction to construction, and they just murmur and complain. That's all they do. That's what they do. Y'all let me vent just a little while tonight, it's okay. And basically what happens is when Israel came out of Egypt, we talk about backsliding. And you cannot backslide in something you never came out of. You slide back into what you came out of. That's what backsliding is. And when people get under pressure, especially when they've come out of the world and been in the world for a long time, when they come under pressure, they want to slide back into that old nature because that's their defense mechanism. They're more comfortable being carnal than they are being spiritual. Because to be spiritual takes, the strong guy's the one that walks away. The strong guy's not the one that stands toe-to-toe and argues with you. It's the one that says, okay, you win, I'll talk to you later. And they leave humbly, okay? And so the children of Israel got into the wilderness, and they wanted to backslide. They said, would to God, Moses, you would have left us over in Egypt bondage, for it was better to have the what? The taskmasters, the whips and all that, and the bread of affliction? And they forget how good God was to them. And so many times people do not realize how good God is to them till they backslide. And then they realize God was good. I'm glad he's merciful, aren't you? I'm glad he's long-suffering. To some degree, we've all backslid, right? He said, my people are bent on backsliding. So I want to show you the two mentalities as I try to hurry through this. Ooh, I got a lot of good information. The two mentalities of the two generations, because it was two generations that crossed over. One generation crosses over the Red Sea, and the other one crosses over Jordan, right? There are two generations with two different mentalities. And while the people in Egypt were rough on these other people, and they ate the bread of affliction, they had a mentality. At some point, it was better back then than I have it now. And they ended up with a give-me mentality. An entitlement. Because they came out of being slaves and they said, here, I give you this. And they worked them to death, but they gave them bread. They gave them water. But when they get into the wilderness, give me. Give me. And so they had this give me mentality. So those that crossed the Red Sea with Moses had this give me mentality where they would just receive things from the Lord and never do anything to receive it but murmur and complain. So when they crossed the Red Sea, they were murmuring and complaining against Moses. And the Lord looked to Moses and said, Lord, what are you doing getting me out here with these people? And so he said, don't have fear. He said, stretch out that rod I gave you over the Red Sea. And when he did, Brother Valentine, the Bible says the winds began to blow and the waters parted hither and thither. They parted and they blew all night. All night. It was parting the water and drying the land. And the Bible says that when it got to a heap, it congealed. You know what Jell-O is? It congeals. And so they were able to, like, the water's just, it's probably pretty spooky. You kind of wonder, you're going to get us out here and this is going. And so, but I want to fill you in on something. Somebody was chasing them. You'll take risk you'd never take when somebody's chasing you. And so they step off of the bank of the Red Sea. And the Bible says when they stepped off, they stepped on dry ground. Do you understand that? Dry ground. And from that moment on, with that miracle, it was always a give me mentality. Give me water. Give me bread. Give me quail. Give me shade. Give me this. Give me that. It was a give me mentality. And too many times, I'm afraid we preach too many miracle sermons where God's going to give me this in 30 days. Your check is in the mail. And we don't do anything to get the check in the mail. Give me mentality. Too many sermons are based on get your miracle. That means you don't do anything usually. But there was a group of people that was in the 12 spies. 10 came back, and the Lord told them, I have given you this, but you have to possess it. There's a lot of difference between giving me something and possessing something. And 10 of them came back and said, we are not able. You know, just give it to me. Just give it to me. Just give me. But 2 came back of a different mentality. And God said, I like that mentality. Caleb and Joshua, the Bible says, they steeled the people, trying to get them to realize God has given us this. Let us go in and possess it at once. For we are well able to take it. We are well able to take it. We can possess it. We're just not going to walk in and they're going to fall over. We can take it. We're able because God has enabled us to take it. So we see there's a different generation and a mentality. There was the give me people, the give me generation, and the ones that'll go after it. I'm afraid we're in that generation today. So when we get to the brinks of Jordan, as you know, they were turned back because all they wanted was give me, give me, give me. And the Lord said, that's not how you're going to take it. And God preserved, guess what he preserved? 2 leaders that had a let's take it mentality. I hope you understand you've got a pastor that's to go after it. I don't go for it. You know, go for it. I'm not one of those guys, but I'll go after it with all my heart, all my soul, and all my strength. And so now we get to the brinks of the Jordan. The Bible says that the Jordan was swollen at that time. And over its banks, it was like the time of the harvest. And I want you to watch real carefully how that Moses crossed over the Red Sea and how Joshua crosses over Jordan River. When Moses crossed over the Red Sea, he stretched out a rod that the Lord anointed, if you will. And because one man obeyed the Lord, then it parted and everybody walks across on dry ground. But watch this, Joshua 3:3. And they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Go after it. Hallelujah. Which is kind of that double meaning, if you will. Not only go after it, but it's like let it go first. And then you go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. I guarantee you they hadn't passed like this before. Now, you have to understand, they had crossed over before because they couldn't have spied out the land without crossing over. But the Jordan didn't dry up. They probably went in little P-rows or something. And it might not have been swollen at the time. I don't know. But when Joshua gets ready to cross the Red Sea, the Jordan River, the Lord told him, now I want you to let the priests go first with the Ark of the Covenant and keep this 200 cubits. Now I had to do a little research because I know y'all know this, but I didn't. 1 cubit is 1.5 feet. 1 cubit. There are 2,000 cubits, which makes it 3,000 feet. Okay? A mile has 5,280 feet in a mile. Therefore, it was over 1/2 mile. He said, why? Because what you will see is the Ark of the Covenant gets completely over. That lets me know how swollen Jordan really was. It wasn't really that wide, but being swollen, it made it like a half, over a half. You know how far a half mile is? It's a long ways. Brother, we used to race cars, it's a quarter mile. It's twice that far, in case you didn't know. I'm going to borrow your car sometimes. I'm feeling young again, you know. He said, "And thou shalt command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan." Now, when Moses did it, they step up on, and it's dry. Right? And they all cross together. Not this time. The Lord says, "I go before you because you ain't been this way before." I'm telling you, there's a lot of ways in my life I had never been. And I have to let the Lord go ahead of me. And I have to don't take this wrong, so close that I can't see him. Sometimes you can get so close to someone you don't see him. But I want the Lord to be where I can not only see him, but I can see the way he's traversing. I've tried to follow people in the woods at night when they had the light. You can't follow them because they got the light. "Behold, the ark of the Lord, behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan." So the ark of the covenant would pass completely over. "Now, therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe, a man, one man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest the waters of Jordan." Now watch this. He's going to rest the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above. And they shall stand upon an heap. Now, they're not going hither and thither. The waters that come down, he made a dam, if you will, and he cut the waters off. When Moses went across, it opened up both ways, hither and thither. But when they go across, it stopped the water and it dries up from there on. From there on. Let me tell you, there's a lot of people crossing. There's a lot of people crossing. "And it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet..." I read that. Verse 14. "And it shall come to pass when the people remove their tents and pass over Jordan, and the priest bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were coming to Jordan, that the feet of the priest that bear the ark were dipped." I want to tell you, this took a little faith here. The other one, by the time they got up in the morning, it was already dry. This generation is going to go after it. This generation is going to walk by faith and not by sight. "And they dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of the harvest. And the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap, very far from the city of Adam that is beside Zeran, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho." Wow, they got there right at the enemy's doors. And so we see the difference between the generations that crossed. I want to preach and pastor the do-it generation. I'm sorry, that's me. I want to pastor people that want to follow, as Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." I want the do-it generation. I don't want people just laying around waiting for my miracle to come. I don't want to be the man that sits there, "I have no man to put me in the water," you know. And I want to be like the woman that says, "If I can but touch," and she's willing to press through the crowd to get it. Hallelujah. You know, even Rahab the harlot, Brother Valentine, talked about how, man, our hearts did melt. We heard about how Jordan dried up. Wow. And the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people had passed clean over Jordan. Now, let me explain something to you. When Moses crossed over, the enemy was chasing them. But when Joshua crossed over, they were chasing the enemy. Big difference. I'm going in, like the song says, to possess the land. It's not going to be easy. Let me tell you, if you want a college education, you got to go it. You got to get it. If you want a good job, you may have to work from the bottom to the top, but you can get there. You put the right person at McDonald's and they'll be bagging the fries. Come back 5 years later, they're managing the store. Because you got to get after it. They're not going to put you manager and you've never done anything before. I don't want somebody chasing me to make me run to safety. I want to go after what God has given me. Peace is mine. Joy is mine. All these fruit of the Spirit are mine. I got to go after it and get it. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan that the Lord spake unto Joshua saying, take you 12 men out of the people, one out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared for the children of Israel, one out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take up every man of you a stone in his pocket, whatever you can carry. He said, you need to pick up a stone that's like a boulder. Don't go get one where the priest's feet didn't. You need to stand where they stood. And the priest, the Bible said the priest's feet stood firm. Why? On a rock. On a rock. Go back and get a stone upon your shoulder according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, which is passed over Jordan. The water of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be the memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Let me tell you something. There's a difference between a memorial and a monument. A memorial usually represents a movement. A monument is a static place where really it's George Washington stood here. Well, that's great, but I want to know where he crossed the river at. This represented a movement of God so that when your children say, Mama, Daddy, what happened? You can tell them God moved. This represents the movement of God. And I wonder where our fathers are. It was the head of the tribe, the father. When your children ask, Daddy, what does this stone mean? I'm just telling daddies, go get a rock. Go get a stone. Have something you can show somebody. This is what the Lord did for me. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, they would have swallowed us up quick. You need to have a testimony to tell your children how God delivered you out of hard times. Hallelujah. As they come tonight, you need a family rock. Hallelujah. David was a man that was after God's own heart in more than one ways. David went after it in one way, but he followed in another way. And you and I tonight, we need to follow after God. Christ has made a way of escape for every one of us. And you and I need to follow him. Hallelujah. Thank you. if we could ever quit relying on somebody else to do our job. That's the problem. We want somebody else to do it. Somebody asked me one time, says, what does a pastor do? I said, anything that doesn't get done, that's what he does. If it don't get done, I'll do it. I want you, and I thank you that you have the same mentality. Some of you help each other. Some of you, it doesn't matter what this church needs. Y'all get together and do it. And I thank you for that. I believe I'm pastoring the go after it generation. Go after it. Hallelujah. Say that with me. Go after it. Go after it. Hallelujah. I don't want it always delivered to me. I want to go after it. And you know what? If you go after it, God will give you the strength to obtain it. Would you stand tonight? Go possess it. Go take it.
Victory in the house. And I'm going in to possess the land. Victory in the house. Victory in the house.
There's victory.
Study. I don't know how to work that hard. I can't. All that stuff. Belittle God, because that's all it does. It just belittles God. I'm dyslexic as they come. I can barely read. As you see. I can't let that stop me. I can't say, well, I can't be a preacher because I'm dyslexic. I couldn't be a doctor because I'm dyslexic. I can't. Because greater is He that is in me. Hallelujah. The Lord told Moses, He said, all I want you to do is say just a few words. All you have to do is go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Four words. And he said, I can't do that. I stutter. He said, who made your mouth? Let me tell you something. Don't use any excuses why you can't do anything. Day of excuses ought to be over. It's a let's go do it. Let's go get it. You want a better job? Keep after it. Just keep after it. They turn you down, go to another one. He said, you go to a house and they treat you good. He said, stay there a little while. But he said, they don't treat you good, get outside the city and say, y'all wish y'all had me later. And go on to the next place.